And if you just say you're here, I can't see you because I'm reading the list. So if you can just say something, that would be great. Jessica Adler.
I'm here.
Katie Bertram.
Here.
Great. AJ Dhaliwal. AJ, are you here? Okay, we'll come back. Sally Gear.
Here.
Great. Susie Hoffman. Susie, are you here? Okay. Ted Howard.
Here, Jeff. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Ted. Janine Jackson.
I'm here.
Great. Susie Ju. Susie, are you here? Okay. Natalie Koss.
Here.
June Kress. June, are you here? Okay. Megan will be joining us, I think, a little bit later. Paul Lee.
Here.
Great. Lisa Lipsky.
Here.
Great. Amy Nelson.
Here.
Peggy Lansbacher-Moore.
Peggy's on the phone. Good morning. Good afternoon, Jeff.
Thank you, Peggy. Good afternoon to you. Ramya Ravindran.
Here.
Great. Bridget Rowan.
Here.
Great. Chad Sarchio.
Good afternoon. Hi, all.
Hello. Diane Seltzer-Torre.
I'm here. Hello.
Great. Salima.
Here.
Great. Sean Snyder.
Here.
And Courtney Weiner.
So, and Jeff, both Susie's joined after our role.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for letting me know, Susie. And Susie, welcome.
AJ is also here.
Oh, great, AJ. Yes, thank you. I thought I saw your name, so that's great. Great. I think that's everyone except for Megan, who I understand will be joining us a little bit later. So that's great. I wanted to just, we have a very special guest with us today, and I just wanted to take an opportunity to welcome her, and that is our Chief Judge Anita Josie Herring of the DC Superior Court has joined us today. We're delighted to welcome you, Chief, and I hate to put you on the spot, but if you would like to say a few words, we'd love to hear from you.
Thank you very much. And I'm sorry, I'm just joining. I'm going from a call to caller virtual proceeding to virtual proceeding, but it's great to be invited to participate here today as a listener. I obviously have a very strong interest in working with the bar to help solve the myriad of problems that we as lawyers really have the tools to attack. And I know nothing is done by a small number of people, and we appreciate everything the bar does. It's really helpful to the court and particularly to the people that we serve. Thanks so much for having me.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Good. Well, I will take just a couple minutes with my president's report to just give you a little bit of a report that Chad and I spent a good chunk of last week attending the virtual meeting of the National Conference of Bar Presidents. And it's a useful reminder, I find, of how very different we are from most of the bar associations around the country. As we all know, as an integrated bar, we are largely shielded from the constant pressure to attract members, to raise sufficient revenue to pay our staff, and to come up with creative and frankly, often pretty silly ways to get noticed and stay relevant. So that's on the positive side. On the other hand, though, as we all know, we are limited in ways most of our other fellow bar associations are not, in what we can say and in the range of activities we can engage in. So it's an interesting opportunity to sort of compare ourselves and to learn as much as we can from what others are doing. So it's Anyway, so that's what Chad and I did for a good chunk of last week. For me, the most interesting panel discussion that took place concerned some recent changes in the rules governing professional conduct in Arizona. Now, the fact that I thought this was the most interesting panel may say more about me than the conference, but really, is there anything more exciting than rules? I'm sure you share my enthusiasm for this subject. So what I wanted to just talk to you very briefly about is what's going on in Arizona and why it might matter for us here. The developments in Arizona are not exactly news because our own Global Legal Practice Committee has been following these developments very closely. I know Carla is on, and I know this is something that she's been studying for quite some time. But I wanted to be sure that you were all generally aware of these developments because they could well serve as an inspiration for some of the proposals that are being kicked around here. So as you probably all know, up until now, DC has been unique among US jurisdictions in permitting non-lawyers to have an ownership interest and to exercise managerial authority over law firms. But as of January 1 of this year, we are no longer unique. Arizona has amended its rules to permit something that it's calling alternative business structures. And these, or ABS, they refer to it. So this ABS is a business entity that provides legal services and that includes non-lawyers as owners and managers. And these entities are required to be certified by the Arizona Supreme Court. And Arizona has adopted a pretty complicated regulatory structure to ensure that these ABSs comply with a whole series of elements of a code of conduct. So that's one thing that they've done that frankly gets them very close and indeed even beyond, I think, what our rules would permit similar entities to do. But they didn't stop there. They also, in a completely separate set of rules, created a new category of legal service providers, what they're calling legal paraprofessionals, that will be licensed to provide legal services in certain family law, criminal, small claims, and administrative proceedings. And these legal paraprofessionals must first pass an exam and meet certain eligibility requirements, including character and fitness review. And they'll have to have either 7 years of law-related experience or they have to complete a whole series of specific courses. They would be affiliated members of the Arizona State Bar and subject to the rules of professional conduct. They would need to maintain trust accounts, for example, and their confidential communications with their clients would be considered privileged. As I mentioned at an earlier board meeting, our own Global Legal Practice Committee is also considering whether to recommend the adoption of a similar type of program here. So Arizona has adopted two more changes, which I will only mention briefly. One is that it has eliminated any limitation on paying or receiving fees for referring clients. There are no longer any limitations to provide referral fees. And two, it has eliminated the limitation on sharing fees with non-lawyers. So unlike in DC, which does allow sharing fees with non-lawyers to the extent that, you know, in our own version of these alternative business structures, Arizona has gone further to allow even traditional law firms and regular lawyers to share their legal fees with non-lawyers. So this would allow, for example, for a non-lawyer to invest in cases with the intent on receiving some share of the fees of if the cases are successful. So that this may turn out to be the most far-reaching of all of their changes. But it's really quite interesting that they've gone down this path. So I think these developments are really interesting. And I know that the Global Legal Practice Committee will be studying the results in Arizona closely to see what evidence there is in terms of what works and what doesn't. So stay tuned. I think this is an interesting development and one that we'll be watching closely. So anyway, that's my little report from what I did last week. And so we can now move on our agenda to our consent agenda, which includes both review of the minutes from last month, as well as my recommendation for the appointment to the DC Commission on Judicial Disabilities and Tenure. Would anyone like to take any of these off the consent agenda and discuss them separately? Okay, hearing nothing and seeing nothing, I would entertain a motion to adopt the consent agenda.
So moved, Susie Hoffman.
Right.
With extra endorsement for Diane Brenneman on the judicial disabilities and tenure.
Yeah, I should say, even though we won't talk about it in detail, but she seems incredibly impressive to me, and that I thank both Bob for his efforts to convince her that this is something that she can do. I think she's going to be great. I need a second on the motion to adopt the consent agenda.
Second.
Second.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Any opposed? Great. So the consent agenda is adopted. That's a good result for the commission. Sean will now turn to the treasurer's report.
Jeff, and if we can put the slides on the screen, I'll go ahead and get started. You obviously have the full financial report in the package that was sent out. The bar continues to manage operations efficiently through the pandemic. Overall, as I've reported on each month, there have been challenges in some revenue categories, but those are offset by lower expenses as a result of our remote operations. This is detailed in the financial reports memo that's part of the budget or the package. The good news is that the bar continues with a surplus from operations through December, and we have net positive investment returns. The finance committee met last week with our financial advisors and did our usual deep dive. Thank you, Susie, for leading that effort as chair of the committee. Here are the key takeaways from the material you have. As you can see, slide one, the bar ended December with a surplus from operations of $1.1 million versus the budgeted deficit of $229,000. License fees are less than budget by 1%, but late fees and penalties have exceeded budget, netting a better than budget result of $150,000 overall for license fees. Admissions and registrations related to the mandatory course, CLE, and communities events are significantly less than budget due to the cancellation of in-person events as a result of the pandemic. On-demand courses are showing an increase, however. There was an increase of more than 70% over November, which is encouraging. Overall, total revenue is less than budget by 1%, despite the reductions. The bar's expenses were overall better than budget by 8%. Those savings are primarily pandemic-related and expected categories like food and beverage and travel, but it also includes building-related costs and deferral of professional fees. Investment returns, which we talked about last week, through December total $2.2 million, which brings the investment balances to over $15 million. And the bar ended December with an overall surplus of $3.3 million, and our cash balance was $10.2 million. Our lease obligation for 1101 K Street, which expires in May 2021, only a few months left, was $1.8 million. If you can flip to slide two. For non-license fee funded activities, communities had a surplus of $20,000 from operations through December, which was better than budget by $38,000, while revenue was worse than budget by $122,000 across almost all revenue lines. Expense savings from vacant positions and food and beverage costs offset that shortfall. CLE had a surplus of $10,000 from operations, which was $68,000 worse than budget. Significantly lower registrations due to the cancellation of in-person events has not been offset by any increase in on-demand courses. Cost savings in all expense categories helped to partially offset the revenue shortfall and allowed CLE to generate an operational surplus, but significantly lower than budget. Other non-license fee-funded activities, which are primarily certificates of good standing and royalties related to member benefit affinity programs, generated a surplus of $195,000 from operations, which was within $3,000 of budget. Outside rental income of conference room space obviously has not been realized due to the pandemic, and savings in professional fees partially offset the revenue variance. This concludes my report, and Marg and I are happy to answer any questions you might have.
Great. Thank you, Sean. And anyone have any questions? Great. Well, it's very, seems like a very solid financial situation for us. Thank you. Bob, we are now ready for the CEO report.
All right, yeah, and I do want to just echo what you just said, Jeff, about the financial situation despite the pandemic, because we have been able to control the expenses so well, even though we've had some offset in revenue, things are going very well. So I want to reassure the board that we have things well in hand. On the operational side, we, as you know, are going to be remote, operating fully remote and having all of our programming remote through at least the end of the fiscal year, so end of June. Our hope is that if the conditions improve and vaccinations roll out, that perhaps we can begin some kind of phased reentry into the building over the summer when there are fewer programs and more space and we can do things. But we remain uncommitted to when that is actually going to be. We are committed to providing the staff with current information at all times. We meet on a biweekly basis, the entire staff, to give them updated information. We have a committee working on the protocols for reentry into the building and have promised the staff that we would give them at least 3 weeks notice before any change in a fully remote schedule. So we're keeping everybody fully informed. Everything is going, as you can see from the CEO written report, everything is going well on a programming basis. You know, all of our programming is happening virtually and it's going very well. On sort of the bigger ticket items, the next Judicial and Bar Conference will be on April 22nd and 23rd, which will be entirely virtual. We are working with the committee on arrangements, of course, to get that all planned out. The conference programming centers around, not surprisingly, virtual reality, how COVID-19 has reshaped the legal profession. And we've managed, since our last meeting, to nail down the keynote speaker, our very own DeMaurice Smith, who is the executive director of the National Football League Players Association and a member of our bar. And the NFL actually is a pretty, it's an interesting story about how they transitioned largely very successfully to a different operating model given COVID. So we're looking forward to having Dee, who's a friend, talk at the conference about exactly how he and the NFL owners worked in partnership to get that underway. The other big ticket item that's going on right now, I'm very pleased to announce that we will be launching, or are launching today, as a matter of fact, the new learning management system. So I know this doesn't sound all that sexy or exciting, but it really is. You will recall that last year when we rolled out the new website, that involved all of the content of the website, but it did not involve the course catalog for CLE or communities programs or other online programs or the e-commerce part of the website, which has always been very clunky and very non-user friendly. So for the past year, we have been working on finding a new learning management system and then incorporating it into the processes of what we have. And then of course now rolling out to the website so our members can benefit from it. So if with that, I'd like to turn control over, or Lisa will turn control over to Katarina for a little demonstration of what you and our members will see now as a result of the new learning management system. Katarina?
Good afternoon, everyone. So I'm looking for the controls. I believe I have it. Okay. So this is the website, the redesigned website, as you know it. But if some of you ever scroll down and clicked on view all events, you might remember there was kind of a surprise because the catalog, the e-catalog and e-commerce we had were clearly not as pleasant to browse and very difficult to navigate. So now we are already live as of 9 a.m. this morning. So this is the new learning management system and the new catalog of the DC Bar. So this is the page that if you click on the events, you will see. The navigation on top is still the same as the one of the main website, But you can see here, there is a much more approachable and a feature-rich way of accessing this catalog. So first of all, we have a delivery by type. So we have different kind of webinars, publication packages, of courses, or on demand. So you can use this one if you want to filter down by delivery type. You can search any kind of search word you want to have there. And we search not only the titles, but also all the description of the courses. So you don't need to remember the title exactly. As you can see here, I'm logged out. It says, hello, Caterina. So there is a, you log in with the same username and password that you use when you renew your membership. Here we have the possibility to, in this area here, possibility to feature some courses we want to feature. And here we have organized the various practice areas and communities. So there is pretty much an overlap of one-to-one of what a community and a practice area is. So we decided that to give more visibility to the community events and to let people decide if they want or not credits on their courses and not only learn, they can browse by subject and then filter down based on if they want credits or not. And we also have a way of filtering down based on courses with the give credit, courses associated to community, courses associated to practice management, pro bono courses, our publication, and then something that I think is really useful here, especially for jurisdictions that have a quick deadline and you realize a day to your deadline that you haven't taken courses, a calendar view of the courses. So if I knew that my deadline for getting my my accreditation, my credits was tomorrow, I could just say, oh, I always love to learn about cybersecurity and privacy threats. So this is a kind of a calendar view, or maybe you want to just plan ahead and see and put this in your calendar. So another big feature, for instance, if I go in the CLE catalog here, so this, you will see on this side here, there is an Amazon style filtering. This was something that has been in the plan for a long time. And I remember I spoke first with Susie and then with Jeff that we really wanted to have something as easily as understandable and familiar really as the catalog, the Amazon catalog. So we can sort the events by date, by title, by credits, by price, depending on what your priorities are. But you can also, once you have the CLE checked here, so anything that gives credit, we can say, for instance, you want to learn about antitrust and consumer law, and automatically this list filters down so you don't have to reload the page. And of course, we have the media type, so the delivery type, that we will also have I'm looking forward to have an in-person set of events, but for now we only have on-demand and Zoom webinar. So then if we decide that this course is something we like, we can click on the details. And we have the detail of the course. There is a quick description here. The credits that one gets, there is a description, a rich description for the speakers that gives the ability to actually put a picture or features a more rich description of our speakers, any material that are associated to the course. So this, for instance, is the material that you get before purchasing. So there's some description material, but then if you, after you purchase, you'll actually have here the material associated to actually attending the course. And then the pricing information that shows how, the amount of discounts depending on who you are. So this is a very quick, demonstration of the site. I hope everybody to play around, and if you find problems, just let us know. So as I said, we went live this morning at 9 a.m. So I'm sure that there are still a few kinks here and there. But we are very, very proud. This was interdepartmental effort. There were pretty much everybody in the organization that contributed to this project. This we started like September, October, the selection of the actually of the software probably happened even before. So many months of work. And this is really the conclusion of the project as it started pretty much when I joined. Bob told me, you have two things to do. One is stabilize NetForum, making sure that we can have a proper renewal. And the other one is get rid of the horrible website. So I hope I still have something to do in my to-do list. So you keep me employed. But this is an incredible goal for the organization that puts a busy bar in the 21st century in terms of online presence and can show the amazing amount of education and courses and events that we organize. And we hope that we can actually get more attendees from all the jurisdictions that we serve. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Katarina. I don't know if anybody has any questions about that, but I want to give a huge shout out to the group. Everybody in IT, CLE, communities, folks from Red Council and Pro Bono. I mean, there were folks from every corner of the bar that participated in this to make sure that it met the members' needs and did what it was supposed to do and provide a user-friendly access to that content, particularly in this dynamic, because everything's going out virtually. It's so important that it appears and is useful and user-friendly for our members. So again, the list of people would, you know, be 2/3 of the bar and the Pro Bono Center. So I'm not gonna list everybody, but I just wanna express my personal appreciation because it was a priority for us and for our members to get this done. And I'm very grateful that it's done. And we have tons of IT projects in the works. So Katarina and her staff will not be bored, I promise you. But with that is the conclusion of my report, unless anybody has any questions that they have for me or for any of the other DC Bar staff.
Bob, I just wanted to ask one quick question. Maybe Becky or Katarina can answer, I'm sure. But I take it that one of the things that we were looking to do was to make contributions to the Pro Bono Center a little bit easier to make. Does this improvement allow for that as well?
Not this specifically one, but we actually have deployed a donation without login, in which you actually do not need to be logging in as a member. You can just enter it's a single page in which you have, of course, to provide your credit card information, that's an important one, and your personal information that goes in the list, and you don't need to log in to actually be a member. So yeah, that's another thing that was rolled out, I want to say around the end of the year.
It was in December. I think it was pretty.
It was December. Yeah, it was shortly after Christmas. Yeah.
And it's on the Pro Bono Center's web page.
Right. Great. Now this is an extraordinary job, Katarina. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks everybody.
Great. Good. Well, I think we have now reached the point in the agenda where we can turn to Amy Nelson and get a report from our audit committee.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. I want to start out by thanking everyone who is on the audit committee. That includes Lisa Lipsky, Jeff, Susie Ju, Ramya Ravindan, and Courtney Weiner. So thanks to everyone for your participation in that project. We received our draft audit report on January 14th, and that's what we'll be voting to approve or accept today. Of course, our auditors are Clifton Larson Allen, and this is the audit for the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2020. So Nat Bartholomew is the engagement principal for this account. And then he's joined by his colleague, Bryn Lewis, engagement director, who's been helping put this together. So I'm pleased to report that we have a clean opinion, which means the financials prepared by the bar fairly represent the results of our operations for the year. And I want to carry on the excitement about our positive financial situation. And congrats to Bob and the leadership team for managing our finances so effectively, especially during the pandemic. We ended, of course, last year with a surplus from operations in excess of $2 million. As always, the auditors reviewed our internal controls and they did not identify any deficiency or material weakness. Last year, you may remember they provided a note regarding to the 2019 audit regarding our disaster recovery plan, and which had not yet been finalized. So that was put to the test this year, thanks to the pandemic, and we implemented the plan to glowing reviews. we the bar will implement something called a tabletop exercise of different scenarios to fully test it out once we return to the normal workflow post pandemic. And then the auditors will again report on that in next year's audit. So again, nothing came up. There were no difficulties with the audit. Big thanks to the staff, particularly our Associate Director of Finance, Bev Chin, who did an amazing job, she and her team. And Marg, of course, always make this a smooth process for both the audit committee and the auditors. And I encourage folks to look at and review the letter, and I'm open to questions at this point.
I don't have any questions, but I do want to give a big, gigantic shout out to Marg, Bev, the whole finance team, and everybody else. I know that for you all, you received this great glowing report, which is terrific. But they literally, the audit is on their minds every day as they manage the bar's resources to make sure that we're doing everything exactly the way it needs to be done. That all of our accounting is done according with GAAP, that all of the processes have the proper controls in place. I mean, this is literally, the executive team meets every day at 4 o'clock, and there's barely a day that goes by that we are not discussing some attribute of financial management and good management practices. So this is a particularly given the pandemic last year, the fact that we were able to land the plane safely, not just safely, but really in good working order, I think is a testament. And again, my name goes on the management letter, which is great, but they're the ones who are doing the work day in and day out. So I do want to give a particular shout out to the finance team and the management team as a whole, who really handle the bar's resources so carefully and so wisely. So thanks to everybody.
You're here. Really terrific job. Great. Well, thank you, Amy. Thanks for leading us through this. And I think, unless anyone has anything else, I think we are ready to move to executive session. Anyone have anything to say before we do that?
Now, should I leave at this point, or what should I do? Tell me. I'm happy to do what is appropriate.
I think actually it probably is appropriate for you to leave, but we really are very grateful for your attendance and for your participation. We welcome you anytime you would like to come. And obviously, you know, to the extent that you have any questions along the way, please feel free to reach out to any of us. We're more than happy to discuss anything with you. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me. I've been on a number of boards and I was like, okay, I think I better ask whether I'm supposed to leave. Sure. So I do appreciate it and understand it. And I will, I'm available to you guys anytime. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you.
Thanks, okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Jeff, I also wanted to just mention, this is Megan, that I've joined late. Apologies for not being here at the beginning, but just so that the minutes reflect that I was able to join in the end.
Great. Thank you, Megan. Welcome. Great. So everyone else who's not participating in the executive session is free to go. Thank you very much for participating, and we'll see you next month, if not before.